Our gospel lesson today, an expository text, is again taken from the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 15 through 31. You can find that on page 109 in the Pew Bibles in front of you. And as is our custom, we would entreat you to stand if you are able for the gospel lesson. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our abode, our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the rather more bizarre true stories that hit the news media was that of a woman named Tracy Lepard, who was a contestant destined for the Miss Virginia beauty pageant, as she had achieved the goal as Miss Williamsburg, Virginia. But unfortunately, she never made it to that point, because after handing off her crown to her successor, she got in her car and she drove some 250 miles to Lewisburg, West Virginia, in order to seek revenge against her ex-boyfriend who had jilted her and had run off with another woman. She carried with her on that trek a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. She brought with her, in addition, a butcher knife, a pair of rubber gloves, lighter fluid, and a claw hammer. Quite a travel bag, huh? When she arrived at the destination, the door was opened by the boyfriend's father, who she had never met, and she told him that she was having car trouble and needed to use the phone. It was just a ruse to get in the house. Once she got in, she clocked the father with the hammer, stunned him, but didn't knock him out. Then she pulled her revolver, but what she didn't know was that the father was an ex-Secret Service agent, and he and the wife were able to get the drop on her and get the gun from her and call the authorities, who arrested her. When they interrogated her, they asked her why she would do such a horrible thing, and this is what she said. She said, "I needed to get revenge so that I could find, are you ready for this? Inner peace. That's one way to get peace, right? I suspect that most of us here today long for inner peace, but I would hope that we would not go to those extremes to achieve it. But we long for it, don't we? That is perhaps why this verse here in chapter 14, verse 27, is a favorite verse amongst people, where Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and be not afraid." So let me begin by asking an important question here. Do you have inner peace this morning? That's the question. You might say, "Well, of course I do, Pastor." Really? Well, let me ask you this. Are any of you worriers? Or anybody here married to a worrier? I see that hand. I read about in a national magazine a woman who said that when she was a kid, every summer her family would go on a little family vacation. Every summer they'd get in the car in the Chicagoland area where I used to live, and they would go to up to Wisconsin, and they'd get about a few miles outside of town, and you know what? The mom would say, "Oh my goodness, I knew I forgot to unplug the iron." Oh, and so every year they would turn around, they'd go all the way back to make sure the iron was unplugged, and it was always unplugged. But every year was the same ritual, till finally when she was 14, they're heading to Geneva, Wisconsin. They get a few miles outside of Chicago, and lo and behold, the mom says, "Ah, I forgot to unplug the iron." But this time the father pulled the car over into the shoulder, got out of the car, got in back of the trunk, opened it up, and lo and behold, had the iron. Smart guy. Yeah. Can you relate to that? Can you see the irony in that? Pun fully intended. Sorry, Paul. Paul's back there. Keep your day job, Pastor Bob. Anyway, worriers are amazing, though, aren't they? Not the Golden State Warriors. They're amazing. They are amazing. Next to the Cavaliers, right? But we're talking about worriers. They're amazing. How many of you are worriers here? Professional worriers. Let me ask you this. Have any of you ever worried about the mattress tag on your mattress? You know how that mattress says, "Do not remove this tag under the penalty of law"? How many of you worried about that? Oh my goodness, what if it falls off? I mean, really, I remember I used to worry about that. Oh my, look at this thing. But you know, the first thing when it says, "Do not remove," what's the first thing that comes into your head? Take it off, right? How many of you worried about that? What are you worried about? What do you think? Who's going to know if you take the mattress tag off of your mattress? What are the mattress police going to come knock on your door? "We want to inspect your mattress." You think the NSA is tracking that? I mean, they're after terrorists. They don't care about that little tag on your mattress. But secondly, do you know what that tag is for? It's not for you. It's for the retailer, so that when you buy a mattress, you know it is an unused mattress. It's new, and it's never been slept on, and it's got materials within it that are approved. So they can't remove it. You're free to remove it. So go home and do that today, okay? Get over it. Stop being worriers about it. But it's kind of funny we worry about buying a mattress that's unused. "Ooh, I would never sleep on a used mattress. Eww, that's icky." Really? How many of you ever slept in a hotel? Do you know how many people have slept on that mattress? That's a used mattress, baby. You don't want to know what's on that mattress. Now I got you worrying about that, I know. But we worry about stuff. It's amazing what people worry about, right? Some unknown poet wrote this poem. It's not going to win a Pulitzer Prize, I guarantee you, but it's interesting. He writes, "He worried about the weather. He worried about his health. He worried about his business. He worried about his wealth. She worried about the children. She worried about her clothes. She worried about the neighbors. She worried about her woes. They worried about their taxes. They worried about their pets. They worried about their future. They worried about their debts. They worried, still they worried. They worried, but alas, they worried about a lot of things that never came to pass. That's interesting. The reason I mention this is because it seems that worriers often are people who are conscientious people, good people, church-going people, because these kind of people care. I mean, if you don't care, you don't worry. You know, you don't care about people, you don't worry about people, but people who care tend to worry. It's true. We tend to be sometimes super worriers, aren't we? In fact, you know some of the biggest worriers in the world are God's chosen people? Jewish people are notorious for worrying, right? In fact, there's an old Jewish joke. Do you know what the epitome of a Jewish telegram is? It says, "Start worrying, colon, details to follow." I don't have enough money to send you details, but you can start worrying right now, right? Now, perhaps they have a good reason to worry. I mean, if you have been attacked and exiled and kicked around and oppressed and threatened with genocide numerous times in your 4,000 years of existence, you might also have a nervous disposition, right? For example, some Jews today are worried about the Iranians. They're worried about the peace talks that we've had with the Iranians. Why do they worry? Well, why are the Iranians trying to develop nuclear power when they're sitting on a gazillion barrels of oil? Think about that. A little suspicious. Or when one of their moderates by the name of Mr. Kakavabian, who's the general secretary of the Democratic Party, said at one point, quote, "The people who currently reside in Israel are not humans." Now, with moderates like that, who needs extremists, huh? Indeed, we in Puerto Rico are facing a major debt crisis where tomorrow, we are told, we may default on almost $500 million in loans. That may happen. And if that happens, our creditors may close in on us. Our retirees may stop receiving their pension checks. Our fire trucks may not respond to the bell to go to the fire because they have no gasoline in their trucks because the government hasn't been able to pay our suppliers to provide the gas. So people are worried about what's going to happen. And under circumstances like this, it's hard not to worry, isn't it? And that's all the more reason for us to hear these words today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Now, it's important to remember the circumstances under which Jesus said this, because Jesus offers these comforting words when? In the upper room, on the eve of his crucifixion. In other words, the person whom these disciples have walked with and talked with for 3 years, this person whom they have bet the farm on, whom they bet the fishing business on, whom they bet 3 years of their life on, is now telling us he's going to die. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be taken away. I mean, that would cause you, I would think, to be a little bit nervous. I mean, if you've got reason to worry, think about their reasons to worry. And I think that's a good lesson. In fact, one way for us to deal with our worry is to put it in perspective of other people who have things to worry about. For example, you think things are bad here in Puerto Rico? Did you read last week that the Chinese news agency, this is not some foreign government reporting this, this is the Chinese themselves reporting that 80% of their underground wells that provide for their farms and their industries across the plains that are heavily populated in China, 80% are contaminated. They are so contaminated that not only can you not drink the water, you can't even bathe in that water. 80% of their wells. Contaminated. Useless. One great thing about Puerto Rico is we've got water. At least most of the time, right? Or you and I ought to thank God that we were born in the Americas and born in Puerto Rico, for those of you born here, because if you were cursed to be a woman in Egypt, there's a 90% chance that you would undergo genital mutilation for purposes of ritual purity. Do you know if you lived in Yemen, you'd have a 55% chance of never learning to read. You would have a 79% chance of never, ever finding a job. If you lived in the United Arab Emirates, where Dubai is, one of the most developed and cosmopolitan Muslim countries, if you were a woman, your father or your husband could beat you and be in compliance with the law as long as he didn't leave any visible marks. Think about that. Now, that would be something to worry about. Thank God that's not something you and I have to worry about. At least I hope not. So it's important to keep these things in perspective. That's why in our passage today, Jesus says to his anxious disciples, don't be worried. Don't be worried. God the Father is still in control. God the Father is still on his throne. And what's going to happen is going to happen according to his plan and according to his will. In fact, this immediate tragedy is going to mean a greater good for you and for all of the world. That's what Jesus is saying here. So keep it in perspective. Keep it in perspective. That's what we need to hear as well. In fact, you know, studies have shown that most of what we worry about never happens anyway. I mean, we worry about stuff that never even happens. It's crazy. For example, how many of you are worried about a terrorist attack? How many of you are worried about some radical Muslim blowing you up somewhere, maybe in your plane or maybe in the train or somewhere in a school? Anybody worried about that? Do you know that it's 7 times more likely today you're going to get struck by lightning than you're going to suffer from a terrorist attack? Did you know that? How many of you are worried about getting struck by lightning today, huh? Well, you should be worried about that. No, just kidding. But really, keep it in perspective. I mean, what are the chances of that happening? Why are you worried about it? There's a lot of other things you could worry about. Don't worry about that. But that's how we are. We borrow trouble, don't we? Worrying about stuff that's never even going to happen. That's why E. Stanley Jones once said that worry is the interest that we pay on tomorrow's troubles. That's a good quote. Worry is the interest we pay today on tomorrow's troubles that may never come. Or the Prince of Preacher, Charles Spurgeon, once said, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Alas, tomorrow never comes. It's not on any calendar except upon the almanac of fools. That's a good word. You see, the secret of abundant life is to entrust the future to God and to live for today is all that we really have. And so if God and God alone is in charge of tomorrow, why are we worrying about it today? Right? That's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Get a grip. Get perspective. Believe what you say you believe. You believe in God. You believe He's Almighty. Believe it. Don't just say it. Believe it with your heart and your life and your emotion. Because God is sovereign. God is in control. God is good. God is good. And when is He good? All the time He's good. He doesn't change. He's already perfect. We don't want Him to change. So His control is not going to change. You can trust that. And that's just common sense, really. Anybody remember the baseball player named Mickey Rivers? He's an outfielder for, I think, the Texas Rangers. Mickey Rivers, I don't think, ever got a PhD in philosophy. In fact, I don't think Mickey ever even went to college. That doesn't mean he didn't have common sense. He said something interesting about worry. He said, quote, there ain't no sense in worrying about things you got control over. Because if you got control over it, ain't no use worrying about it, right? It's under control. And he said, ain't no use worrying about things you don't have control over because you don't have control over it. So why worry about it? That makes sense if you think about it. So if God is in control of everything, why do you and I spend so much of our time and energy worrying? Think about that. That's why Jesus says here, guys, fellas, listen, our Abba Father is in control. Stop worrying. Instead, receive the peace that I have to give you. I'm here to give you peace, peace of mind, peace with God, peace that passes all understandings, and the peace that I give is not like the world gives you. There's a difference. What kind of peace does the world give us? Temporary peace, external peace, peace dependent upon circumstance, happiness dependent upon happenstance, right? That's the kind of peace the world gives. You know, there's an interesting story about the Emperor Augustus. Emperor Augustus preceded Jesus a few decades. Augustus was an interesting guy. Imagine being the emperor of Rome. You think you got worries? You think you got problems? He had to take care of all the bureaucratic decisions of a major empire, numerous languages and peoples. He had armies he had to control. He had people invading, the Huns from the north. He had rebellion in Palestine. You had palace intrigue. You never know who's going to stab you, et tu, Brute, right? I mean, he had a lot to worry about. He had a bona fide reason to worry. But you know what? Emperor Augustus heard that there was a man in Rome. There was a man in Rome who had monumental debts, big debts. But he was known for sleeping soundly every night. Despite all the debt that he had, he slept well every night. So you know what Augustus did? He went to his house in order to buy his bed. That's what he decided to do. He figured if I buy the bed, that'll take care of my worries. Well, that's the world's approach, isn't it? People are like that. Well, if I could just change jobs, I would find peace. Or if I could just change neighborhoods, if I could just change locations, if I could just change my spouse, I would be happy. I would be at peace. And yet, we know that that's not really how it works. Why? Because happiness is an inside job. There is nothing on the outside that can truly ease a truly troubled heart. That's why Jesus says the peace that he gives is not as the world gives, because the peace that he provides comes from the inside. And the reason is it comes from God himself, for Jesus assures us and his disciples that even though he's going to be taken away by death, they're not to worry. For God the Father will send them, what? The Paraclete, which means one who comes alongside, which is translated as advocate, counselor, consoler, helper, intercessor. And who is this person whom Jesus will send to his disciples to comfort them and teach them everything that he told them and bring it back to their mind in detail? Who is this person? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the very divine person of God himself. And that's a real promise of peace, for God's peace is not like the peace that the world gives, because God works from the inside out. And he makes peace with us through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross, so that he can forgive our sin and cleanse us of our sin and therefore make us worthy vessels of his Holy Spirit, so that you and I become human temples of the Holy Spirit of God. That's an amazing concept. That is amazing indeed. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then you're going to know what peace really means. So take that, creditors. Take that, Zika. Take that, economic recession. Take that, you devil, and all your minions, and your threat of death, for Christ has conquered even death itself. Amen. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. But having said that, let me say one last thing. That is, if you don't know that peace that we're talking about here, maybe it's because you don't know the Prince of Peace. Maybe it's because you've never allowed God to do that inside work, because you have never really invited Him into your life. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me." That's what he promises. That's what Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to come into your life, into your heart, into your being. But guess what? You have to invite him in. He's a gentleman. He knocks on the door. You need to open it. You all know the famous portrait of Jesus knocking on the door, knocking on the door. Did you ever notice on that portrait there's no what? There's no doorknob. Why? Because you have to open the door. You have to invite him in. And if you've not done that, he's still outside the door. And if he's outside the door, that's why you're not experiencing peace on the inside. So let's conclude by looking to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask him for that peace that he promises. Let's pray. Lord, we know and realize that we can't not find peace in this world alone. Even through all the myriad of solutions that it offers, whether it be medical or otherwise, for we know that ultimately true peace comes from you from within. And you promise to do that by the presence of your Holy Spirit, by abiding in us. And we thank you that you've made that possible by giving up your body and blood, as symbolized here by the elements on that table, of your love for us, of your sacrifice for us, and the work that you did for us on the cross. But we confess to you there is still something that we must do. And that is, we must individually receive this gift. We must personally ask you to come into our lives and make your throne on the throne of our lives. And I pray that if there is someone here today who's never done that, that you would give them the grace and the boldness and the humility and the unction to take that all-important step, even now, even today. It is so simple because you've made it simple because you paid the price. All we have to do is say yes, yes to you, Jesus. Yes, yes to you. We receive you. Come, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts today. Amen. Amen.